So this morning, it's really good to be back with you guys. We were away for a couple of weeks, and we had just gotten back last week on Saturday night. So it's good to be back with you full time here in the church. And as I was praying this week for our time together, I really felt a strong leading to not simply have another sermon today, but to draw near to Jesus together by hearing his word. It says in John 5:39, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. He said to them, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that speak about me, but you refuse to come to me to have life." These are people that got sidetracked in the study of the Bible and never came to Jesus. The living God. So not just through musical worship today, but through the written word of God, I wanted us to experience Christ this morning. And I believe that God desires to reveal himself to us through his word today as our helper, as our savior, as living and active. The scriptures say the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The scriptures say that where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, there he is among them. So in a very real way, the spiritual presence of Christ is among us as the church, and he is manifesting in this place right now. And that's something we often miss. So we're going to be doing a holy reading today of Mark 1. And we're going to be encountering Jesus Christ through this, the living God, through this text. And for those of you who are younger and maybe have less experience in the Word of God and reading the Scripture, you know, this is an amazing thing where the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, is made manifest through the written Word of Scripture. And in that, we have an event. We have Jesus Christ himself making himself known to us and speaking to us. That's something we often miss. Mark 1 has been on my heart as being a packed passage. If you've read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know that Mark, the second Gospel, is action-packed. It's like, Jesus did this, then he did that, then he did that. Mark 1 contains so, so much. But it's the story of Jesus launching into ministry. And it's the story of each of us as well, being called by the Father and launching into our lives and our ministry. In the beginning of Mark, we see that Jesus, before he does anything at all for God, that he is baptized, and that the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, who I love, and with you I am well pleased." And before Jesus did anything, he lived from this place of being loved by the Father and being pleased, having the Father be pleased with him. That's the same thing that we need. We need to know that we're living from a place of acceptance, of love, and approval for the times in our lives when we go into difficulties, grieving, as was said this morning, and temptations. And right after Jesus is called by God, and God gives him his approval, "You are my Son, whom I love, and in whom I'm well pleased," then the Spirit sends Jesus out into the wilderness. In the wilderness, 40 days being tempted by Satan. And from that place of a firm identity in God and that approval of the Father, Jesus was able to withstand the temptations of the enemy and overcome in that situation. And in Jesus' refusal to bend and break underneath that pressure and temptation, we see the truth of James 4:7, which says, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So right there in the beginning of Mark, the baptism of Jesus, the affirmation of the Father over Jesus' life before he did any ministry at all, and then right into the temptation in the wilderness. And from there, Jesus announces the good news of the kingdom. He says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And then we see Jesus do quite an amazing thing. He calls disciples, And he begins to do a ministry that continues to this very day of saving people, declaring that salvation is found in Jesus, of driving out impure spirits and demons and releasing people from spiritual oppression. Jesus is still doing that today. Of healing many people physically, emotionally, spiritually, and even healing someone of leprosy, which was not only a physical illness, but a social illness, in that when you had leprosy, you were banned from the community and you didn't have fellowship with anybody. And Jesus restored someone from leprosy, from physical uncleanness, to a place of community and back in the worship in the temple. All of these things Jesus had the authority to do because he was the Son of God, affirmed by the Father. And finally, in the middle of this amazing chapter, between all the healings, all the calling of the disciples, Jesus goes to a solitary place and prays and spends time with the Father. This is something we've been talking about in our God and My Everything series, that we need to abide in Jesus. And apart from him, you know, we can do nothing. So Jesus, the Son of God, went to a solitary place to meet with his Father God. He went early in the morning when it was still dark. He brought his companions with him, and he sought after the Lord with them. And right in between all this ministry, he goes and has his time with the Father. And in that, we see the model that Jesus has for us as well. So we're going to be doing this prayerful reading of Mark 1. And the way this is going to work is I'm going to read Mark 1 to you. And it will be just like if you could picture yourself in the New Testament being a part of Philippi. And let's say the church in Philippians has sent a letter from Paul. Most of you can't read yourselves, and so you listen to the word being read to you. And so we're going to read this together as if you'd never heard it before. Don't try to analyze the text. Don't try to fit it into your previous understandings. But just be open to God's inspiration in the moment, and the revelation of Jesus in the moment. God is still speaking. God is still creating and moving. And so I would just invite you to hear this word the first time we read through it, as if you're hearing it for the first time along with the original hearers. The second part of holy reading is meditating on the words. So I'm going to read Mark 1 a second time. And I want you to listen this time to hear what Jesus is saying to you specifically. You know, what words or phrases or images or pictures stand out in the reading? What is really speaking to your heart? What things inspire you? What things console you and comfort you? What things trouble you or convict you? Listen for the second time through to what Jesus is saying. And each person who hears the word of God being read, who has the Holy Spirit within them, is going to hear something very specifically for them, and I believe Jesus will be revealed through that. The third part of holy reading is praying the words. You take that picture that you received, the words that you heard, that's through the second reading, that conviction you had, that inspiration you received, and you form a prayer, and you pray that prayer back to God, praying his word back to him. This is a huge blessing for us who are so privileged to have the scriptures that we can pray these words. We know we are praying the will of God for ourselves when we pray them. And the final part of holy reading is to sit in silence, to choose to be quiet, to quiet yourself inwardly, and just listen to what God is whispering to you as you've processed the scriptures, as you process these words. And there will be a time at the end of the service to come up and share perhaps what God is speaking to you. There will be a time to come up and share a prayer in response to the word. But I want to open up the mic after we're done contemplating the words for you to share what God is speaking to you, and maybe that would be good for everyone to hear. So it's an amazing gift we have, this preserved for us in the words of God. And today I believe that Jesus desires to reveal himself to us through his word, as we identify with what he went through in the first part of his ministry. So with that, hear this passage as if you're the first, it's the first time you ever heard it. Let these words soak over you. If you need to close your eyes and just place yourself in that quiet place to hear the word of God. Mark 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all amazed. They were so amazed they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after the sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demonized people. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news, and as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of God for us this morning. As I read through this passage a second time, be listening to what God is speaking to you through this passage. The living word of God is speaking to you through this. Now, what words and phrases or images pop out to you? What consoles you, inspires you, convicts you, comforts you? Listen for those words that Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Mark 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it was written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended to him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all amazed. So amazed, they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about Jesus spread quickly in the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demonized people. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee and preached in their synagogues and drove out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer a sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is your time to pray these words back to God. Whatever God spoke to you, whatever Jesus revealed to you, this is your time to pray that word back to God. Now, Jesus, we invite you to speak. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Father, as you said in your word, we make ourselves still inwardly, knowing that you are God. You are in control. You are the faithful one, the loving one, the all-powerful one. We can rest in you. You are trustworthy. You've called us by name. Set your love on us. So we are still in your presence, God. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your written word, for the living word of Christ, which has spoken to us this morning. Let us hear your voice in our lives from day to day as we set aside these times to learn how to hear from you. Let us hear you as we walk. And let us learn to do what we see you doing and saying to us from moment to moment. Living in the river, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if anyone would like to come and share something that God spoke to them or prayer that they prayed through the scripture.
Words that spoke to me were, "Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of people." On my heart for a while now, and this relates to what Jesse said also, I've been called to minister to homebound people. Every one of us. Jesus is sending every one of us to a certain group of people to draw them in, to fish for them. I've been praying. I know this is on my heart by God, but I've been praying, and I don't know what this will look like. I don't know. There's so many. My heart is called to the homebound elderly people who are grieving the life that they've lost, but they don't have a purpose, and there's a purpose for everyone. God has made everyone with a purpose, and That's what this scripture spoke to me today. I'm searching. I'm searching for how I can reach these people. Thank you.
So, the funny thing about this is that same exact Mark 1 has been on my heart for like 3 weeks now. And I didn't know if I was supposed to share anything about it, but this is confirmation, I guess, for me. But at the same time, that spot where John the Baptist is saying, repent, the kingdom is at hand for the one that comes after me. I'm not able to untie his sandals. Like, if we just, for a moment, we need to just take into account what John is really, what he really knows about the Savior. Like, this guy is fully man and fully God at the exact same time. And that he limited himself, not fully, but just enough to still be able to show his power and his glory, but also at the same time to say, look, this is the way. Like, I'm the way to everlasting life. And that's what I have.
So it's funny, when John the Baptist said that after me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie, I was thinking, who unties sandals? And then I realized, that's probably a slave, right? So he's saying he's not even worthy to be a slave of him. So that was shocking to me. And it reminded me of a quote that you probably heard, and I'll read it in context from John. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." So I thought that was interesting, because normally you don't command friends. He is our Lord. He commands us. And he says we can be his friends if we do what he commands us. "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another." And then that "remain" reminded me of the abide in me, and I am the vine. And the remaining and the abiding means stay in Christ. And the thought that my last couple of weeks have been, I was realizing that in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments were like really big, and the Jews were very focused on the law. And then a lot of times in America, we're like, it's a different scenario. We don't have to do the Ten Commandments. But then, as I've been reading the New Testament, I was shocked at how many times Jesus said, "Obey me." And on Martin Sanders, the trip down to his memorial, Steve and I were talking about the James passage that says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers. And so I realized, which is kind of funny, like, I guess we should know this, but like, I realized there was a lot of the word that I wasn't doing. And in Romans it says everyone was going to be punished because Adam sinned, but because of the good thing that Christ has done, God accepts us and gives us the gift of life. Adam disobeyed God and caused many others to be sinners. Like, anyone who's born of a woman, which is every human being, is born a sinner. But Christ was born of a woman but not of a man, so he was able to be flesh without being in sin. It was the seed of man that passed the curse. So it was fascinating, because it says, but just as Jesus obeyed him right? He obeyed God, and he made many people acceptable to God. So he's not asking us to do anything that he has not done. Being God, he didn't have to obey anyone. He could have come and wrote his own rules. But he is the perfect example for us to obey God. And in obeying God is a lot of blessing.
As we're around the corner, does anyone else have another thing to share from the scripture?
Mark 2:17 says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "Is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners." Just listening to what Jesse was talking about earlier, and then in Mark 1, the times that Jesus is healing those who are sick. Physical sickness, there's mental sickness, there's emotional sickness all throughout the Bible, and Jesus is coming to help us with that, to take that away. And I mentioned this to him as I was passing him. I've struggled with that too. When I took some classes at NIAC, one of the first courses they asked to do, they paired us up with a person to help us go through and see what our emotional status was, our counselor. And I walked into that time with my counselor, and I said, "I don't know what we're going to talk about, because I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'm fine." By week 3, I was not fine. And I realized how much I'd covered up over my life. God's not in the business of healthy people. He's making us healthy. But he came for those of us who are broken. And realizing that, accepting that, we're all broken one way or another, that's the first step. Because we have to have that crisis moment to realize that we need him. Because we can't do it on our own. As much as we are going to try, we're just going to end up stacking on that pain. So God came for those who are broken. We need him every moment.
I really appreciate this body for being open to things. Sundays like this, they don't happen terribly often, but it's wonderful to be able to know that you are open to hearing from God in this way and doing something a little different and stepping out in faith. I'm going to invite the worship team forward, and we're going to sing a song together and just thank God for all that he's doing, all that he's done.